Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Gary Parrish is the host of The Gary Parrish Show every single day from 4 until 6 o'clock. Also now at National College Basketball, a commentator, columnist, all of that for CBS, CBSSports.com. A multiple Emmy-winning television personality, rising star in the field of meteorology, and he joins me now. GP, how long have you been doing that radio show of yours?
I believe 2010, maybe? So 11 years, I guess, would be the math on it. More than a decade, certainly.
I wasn't actually going to tie this in with the John Gruden stuff, but if back then we discovered that you had been saying all kinds of racist things on audio, could we just say, hey, that was 2010, never mind? Or could we cancel you? Would CBS cancel you? CBS cancel you if you said all the things that Gruden said off the air here. We discovered an audio of it, and it was played back. Do you think you should be held responsible for your beliefs at that time?
Well, I would argue in my favor, and so I would say no, but I would expect to be fired.
You'd be fired in an instant. CBS would never. You'd never have to bring your neck onto CBS again.
Yeah, it'd be good for everybody. But if there were audio of me from 2010 hurling racial slurs or gay slurs or anything like that, I would expect to be fired, yeah.
Where do you draw the line between – because what happens is that – and what I really think is too bad is we pick sides and – there's some people who, you know, whatever, something, gotta go. And other people say, and if you label things as either, once it was politically correct was the label you'd use. Oh, that's politically correct. Whereas a lot of times if people said something, it wasn't that they were being politically correct. They were just being decent, right? Or politically incorrect. You were just being racist. But calling it politically incorrect makes it seem more palatable. And saying someone is the victim of cancel culture, you don't have to actually grapple with what they were saying, what they did, if this is in fact behavior that should have repercussions. And I honestly, there are some of these I come down on the side of, God, give them a chance. Like, everyone screws up, give them a chance. And or their views have changed or whatever. And others I look at and say, yeah, no, like, I'm not saying they should be hauled out and shot, but there have to be repercussions for what they said. How do you, where do you draw the line?
Well, I see that a lot of people intentionally blur them to try to bring in music and comedy and compare them to these emails from John Gruden. And I do draw a line that, puts those things into different categories. You know, Dave Chappelle has gotten a lot of attention over the past week because of his latest Netflix special. And, you know, the jokes are, and the story that he's telling, there is no denying he takes incredible shots at the transgender community. But it's also a comedy special, and I'm not too interested in trying to police comedians. You know, if a joke is funny, I think a joke is funny. And if we start trying to tell comedians, well, you can't joke about this group of people anymore, and you can't joke about that group of people anymore, then at what point do people just say, well, like, what's in bounds? Like, what are we even doing? So I saw this a lot last night. You know, well, how is John Gruden canceled, but Dave Chappelle's going to sign another $200 million Netflix deal? Well, he's a comedian, and there's a very big difference between somebody performing on a stage and somebody just being racist, in private emails. I think there's an obvious difference between those two things.
How about rap lyrics, Gary? How about rap lyrics? Why can they use the N-word?
Why can they use the N-word is like, it's been explained 50 million times.
It is amazing. Go ahead.
And if you can't understand why, you just have to sort of trust that, just trust me then. You can't. If you are incapable of understanding why it is okay for Kendrick Lamar to use the N-word, but not okay for Jeff Calkins to use the N-word. Like, if you really can't get it, for whatever reason, then just trust the rest of us when we tell you you can't do it. It seems like a pretty good deal to me, you know? And I just, all of these comparisons are just lazy, but they come from the same people who make lazy comparisons all the time. So, it accomplishes something. It blurs these lines and it creates a world where you can once again try to paint a white man as a victim and a white man who created self-inflicted harm as a victim here and being as somebody who's being held to a different standard. And as we know, there's always an audience anxious to eat that stuff up. But to any serious person, those aren't serious comparisons.
I don't really think. I mean, this one wasn't close, right?
If you're spending the day defending John Gruden, there's something fundamentally wrong with you.
I think that's right. I mean, just look at what he said. I will say that I told Jeffrey this earlier. I was just kind of shocked that maybe I'm naive. I clearly am naive. I don't think I have heard the F slur for someone who is gay since the 80s. You know, the idea that someone is out there, in 2010 or something, using the F is just insane to me. Like, and it's not just someone. It's someone who made a living speaking at the time, was speaking on Monday Night Football, working for ESPN, and behind closed doors is calling people Fs. I mean, I just, like, I thought, there are people who are deeply racist who say, well, I'm not going to use the N-word. Like, I realize that. Like, that one's, that's going to reveal me to who I am. I'm not going to use that one. I would have imagined that I'm kind of stunned that people are still using the F slur.
Yeah, and putting it in an email and sending it to an email account that is literally connected to the NFL. It seems just wild to me. But it seems pretty clear from reading, I guess I didn't read the emails, but the stories that detail the emails, that he was very comfortable with a group of people who I'm assuming think similarly and talk similarly and email and text similarly. And, that is something that I see all the time, is comfort in like-minded people.
Right.
I should take that back. I don't see it all the time. I don't see anything all the time. My kids and my wife.
No, but let's be honest. In group texts that I text you and John Martin are different than I would text, the mayor or something, right? Just there is a comfort in that. Now, I don't believe I've ever used the F slur with you. I haven't. But you'll be more casual with the way you talk, less guarded, certainly, than I do on the radio, right? I mean, when I'm texting you or John or whatever.
I've got various group texts, and, it's not racist and it's not anti-gay, but has somebody in the group text ever made a comment about somebody that they wouldn't want that known publicly? Yeah, I think that probably goes for everybody's group text in the history of the world.
Every group text in the history of the world, right?
You get comfortable with people and you can speak openly about certain things, but when it starts describing African-American men by commenting on their lips.
It's so flagrantly racist.
It's a cartoon character of a racist. It goes to the stereotypes that have existed forever. And the thing is, like, you can say this was 10 years ago, and in some cases it was, but John Green's 58 years old. That means that he was saying these things at 40, at the age of 48.
He's a fully formed adult. He was a fully formed adult who already won a Super Bowl. It's not like he was an adolescent who was just learning, is figuring out what you can say and what you can't. You know, Josh Allen, I forgot what he texted exactly, but he texted something, you know, what before he was drafted, he had to apologize for something that had emerged in some old texts or something. And right. I do use a different, if someone at 14 or 16 or 17 texts something, I do apply a different standard to that. And it came out and they're 37, you know, come on. Yeah, no, they've learned.
100%. I am more understanding of when you've got, you know, a football player gets drafted, and when he was 15 years old, he texted something or posted something on Twitter that is obviously over the line, but he was a kid. You know, I remember when Aiden was very young, and this is one of the problems with growing up with social media, and you know, no generation's ever done this before. So we're all learning, and what I'm certain we'll find out is that it was not a good thing, but I think we've already found that out. But I remember there was some social media platform, and Aiden was on his iPad. I mean, I'm talking he was 10 years old, you know, 9, 10, 11, very young. And I just happened to walk by, and he was giggling and had posted something. And it was a meme, and I won't get into the details, but it was obviously racist. And he had no idea. He just thought it was funny. He didn't understand why that meme was created. He didn't understand what it was. He just thought it was a funny picture. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay, he's 10 years old, and he just posted this, and obviously we deleted it. And I tried to explain to him, like, let me help you understand why that's not funny and that's not something you should joke about. But he had no idea. And it actually crossed my mind, what if I didn't walk in and see this, and – you know, 10 years from now, he's an accomplished, you know, anything, you know, at the collegiate level, and somebody grabs this and it resurfaces and they try to paint him in a way that he so obviously wouldn't be at that age and wouldn't even at the age of 10, just didn't know what he was doing and what he was laughing at. So when kids get caught, when adults get caught up in this for something they said or did when they were young, I'm conflicted on that. In fact, I think some of that should probably be off limit. But John Gruden was 48 years old, late 40s. He's older. When he was sending these things, he was older than I am now. That's who he is. You know, like John Gruden releasing a statement last night saying, I never meant to hurt anybody. Well, you sure taking a lot of shots at a lot of people. I guess you never meant for this to become public so that, you know, various people would know what you thought about them, including the commissioner of the NFL. Like, I'll take you at your word for that. But when you're approaching 50 years old, like, you are who you are. I've said this for a long time. Like, when you're a teenager, you should not – like, when you're 15, you should not recognize yourself when you're 25. And when you're 25, you know, you should not recognize the 15-year-old version of yourself. When you're 35, you should not recognize the 25-year-old version of yourself. If you're not evolving as you grow – older, then like something's wrong. But by the time you're in your late 40s, you kind of are who you are. And so those emails, that is who John Gruden is. And I don't think there's any scenario where you could have that guy in charge of a football franchise anymore.
It's funny. I just got a Facebook Messenger comment that said, is GP saying that a white person can never be a victim? And I think it's a perfect comment because it shows exactly what I was talking about. Don't talk in absolutes. No, of course Gary isn't saying that. He wouldn't. That's absurd. What we're saying is that it is easy when you have done something reprehensible like John Gruden has to apply to just say, I'm being canceled as a defense. And that's to me, that's what you're saying. But what we should actually do is look at what was said, the context in what was said or done, and then evaluate it and talk about it reasonably without applying labels like cancel culture to it or politically correct to it. Is it reasonable that I have a football coach who said these things? I don't think it is. I don't think any serious person can say it is. But GP, were you saying that a white person can never be a victim?
It is one thing I have learned in more than a decade of talking on the radio is that it is wild how easily people can listen to the words you're saying and interpret them into something they're just not. Like, you know, not every day, but very often, somebody will send me a Facebook message or a tweet, and it's like, I can't believe you said this. And I'm like, well, I didn't say that. Here's what I said. And it just goes hand in hand with, you know, the job. So I try not to pay much attention. I don't spend much time arguing with people about it, but it is.
I think it's instructive, though, because it's much easier. If you had said that, well, that's absurd. And that's much easier to discount. So, Gary Parish is out there saying white people. Well, that's much easier than Gary Parish is saying that when someone says these exact things in this exact circumstance, they shouldn't be the football coach anymore. Like, that's what we said, right? I mean,
That's always it. I mean, like, you know, I saw people last night, and this is what we were talking about, the halftime performers, you know, they all use language and make offensive remarks worse than John Gruden. Well, they're performers. They're performers. John Gruden wasn't performing for anybody in these emails. He was talking comfortably to his friends. You know, Kendrick Lamar is a performer. Snoop is a performer. Dr. Dre, Eminem, they are performers. And if you genuinely can't understand the difference between what John Gruden was doing with his friends and what Kendrick Lamar is doing with his art, then, you know, that's on you. It's not my job to make, you know, everybody smarter every day. I'm focused on my kids, and I can't worry about everybody else. I don't have time for them. But I do think if you find yourself constantly defending or trying to rationalize the same tired explanations, then that's who you are. You know, we just, you know, established that's who John Gruden is. Well, if you are constantly disgusted by Colin Kaepernick, and you actually think Barack Obama is the worst president in the history of the planet, and you think John Gruden got done in by cancel culture, then that's probably who you are. And if you think the thing that I said earlier while discussing this is white people can never, ever, 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 ever be victims, then, you know, then that's who you are. I bet you $5,000 right now, risk-free bet, $5,000 right now, I can tell you who that person voted for, who Facebook messaged you in the past two elections.
Well, that's certainly true. You're allowed to vote for who you want.
No, they always fall into the same category. Like, anybody who can listen to what I said and ask that question, I know who you are. I mean, I don't know who the person is. I'm not asking you to tell me, but I know who you are.
Okay. We discussed it on your show. The earlier shows discussed it. This didn't seem great, the stuff that we got from the IARP yesterday, both in terms of seemed like the decision might become pretty soon for Memphis, and it seemed like it not be too great for Memphis. If a week from now a decision comes out, Memphis has these following punishments and a postseason ban. Is it going to be the darkest day in the history of Memphis basketball?
It'll be a very dark day in the history of Memphis basketball, and it'll be the most self-inflicted bad day in the history of Memphis basketball. Like, Chalmers for the tie is a bad day, and I guess you could say it was self-inflicted by missed free throws, but you don't have any actual control over that. It's a basketball game. This was so avoidable, and the idea that they find themselves in this situation is just forever frustrating. To me, that's the thing I can never get over, is that this isn't you cheated, you got caught, now you have to pay the price. This is you did something that everybody in college athletics knows that you can't do. I don't care what you think of the NCAA or their rules or how they're enforced. Everybody understands when the NCAA says we've got an eligibility problem here, you cannot put that student athlete in competition. I can remember talking to college basketball coaches, athletic directors, associate athletic directors through this time, and every one of them, without exception, was like, what are they doing? And I would even ask some of these ADs, like, is there any scenario where you would have done something like this? No.
Have you heard any predictions since this came out? I mean, you were, I don't know how much you've talked around in the college basketball community since these timelines came out. You read it a certain way. I read it a certain way. Giannato and Jeffrey read it a certain way. We all read it the same basic way as sort of being ominous. Have you heard anything more about this? And I don't know that we can put odds on whether a postseason ban is going to be included, but it certainly looks like it's a possibility.
Well, it's definitely a possibility. I have to answer your question. No, I have not heard any predictions because I don't like, you know, there's no context. This is all new. I think sometimes people start comparing it to like previous NCAA cases, but this is just a different deal. The time frame is different. Punishment phase is different. The lack of an ability to appeal makes a difference. You know, we don't know. I'm not pretending to be smart enough to know what is coming when the punishment is actually announced. That timeline of events it wasn't encouraging. Perhaps it's misleading. It's obviously vague, but it was at least from my perspective, it didn't seem encouraging. So what I am hopeful of is that the punishment will be minimal because I want good things for the university. I want good things for that basketball program. I want good things for Penny and those players and that staff. And I want Memphis fans to be able to enjoy this upcoming season and every season going forward, in a way that doesn't limit your ability to compete for a championship or eliminate your ability to compete for a championship. I'm hoping for the best, but if the punishment is something short of the best and the punishment does include a postseason ban, you know, I'm not going to sit down and write a column saying the NCAA is terrible. How could they do this? The smart column to write at that point would be, how could Memphis ever put itself in this situation? All you had to do was when they told you you've got a James Wiseman problem, do what Kentucky did when it had an Enes Kanter problem, do what Kansas did when it had a Billy Preston problem. You sit the player down, you get it sorted out, you serve whatever suspension you're asked to serve, and then you move on. That was the smart play back in November 2019. It was the only sensible play in November 2019. And how they got themselves tricked into thinking that they could actually fight this and gain anything or fight this without doing real harm is something that I still don't understand to this day.
Is Memphis, let's say that's the way it plays out, do you expect that they'll just go ahead and play the year and beat whoever they can beat as badly as they can beat them and not be in the NCAA tournament? Everyone will stay,
yeah.
Like the players will all be here and they'll play their season and you'll just be as good as you can be. And who knows, they might make up little NCAA championship rings or something for themselves at the end of the year. Like, is that what, you know, be UCF in football kind of thing? Like, we were invited to participate in the whatever, but just beat everybody as much as you could beat everybody. Is that? There's no reason Imani Bates would leave at that point, right? He's here.
He's here. Yeah, I mean, like if this punishment was announced in June and it included a postseason ban, I think you're at risk of losing a lot of people.
Yeah.
But it being announced in October or November or even midseason, like the players are here. We have seen back-to-back seasons where five-star prospects, you know, quit their team in the middle of the season, James Wiseman at Memphis and Jalen Johnson at Duke. So maybe Imani Bates or Jalen Dern decide, hey, well, we don't want to play if we can't go to the NCAA tournament, but I doubt it. And as disappointing as that would be, it wouldn't be terribly uncommon. You know, Auburn went through this last season. Arizona went through this last season. Georgia Tech went through it in a recent season where either before you start or shortly after you start, you find out it doesn't matter if we go undefeated, we're not going to be in the NCAA tournament. And Auburn had a five-star prospect last season in Sharique Cooper, and, you know, he played. And, they just know that you're going to play through the regular season, and then that's that. and it would be obviously disappointing, but again, it wouldn't be that uncommon for college basketball. Some team is doing it basically every year.
Thanks, GP. I'll talk to you at 5. Appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.